Well, lucky for you, I have 8% on my iPad, and my notes are on it. But not so lucky for you, I printed them out. So I do have them. I don't know about you, but I love being in the house of the Lord. I forgive me because at this point in my time here in this year, my brain is about to explode. I had the opportunity to go to HYC with our young people and had a mighty move of God, and young people prayed through. And then before a month was over, I had the opportunity to go to Because of the Times. And it was a great privilege. But I went with the mindset of being an ambassador, if you will, or more of a pod that goes out and discovers things and brings back what I saw. And it's amongst all those things is what I saw. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what I saw. And if I had to title this sermon, is what do you say you are? Or who do you say you are? I'm sorry. My son went into panic mode back there as I misquoted my own sermon title. Anyway, if you're familiar with this picture, it's Jesus telling, the caption is let me tell you how I saved the world. As he's telling the superheroes how Jesus saved the world. But I changed a little bit and said, who do you say you are? Who do you say you are? I went to Because of the Times, and it's a preacher's conference, and there's preachers everywhere. You cannot throw a stone without hitting a preacher. So, and I saw somebody that I knew that I had met at Bible college, and I shook his hand, and I said, Brother Buckland, nice to see you. He didn't have a clue who I was. I just knew who he was. He's the regional director. He's in charge of Asia Minor and the Philippine Islands, and they're having a mighty move of God. And in introducing myself, I'm like, hi, my name is Ignacio Guerra, and really ecstatic to meet him. And he's like, so what do you do? And I proceeded to tell him what I did. And mind you, it is because of the times, and you have to be a preacher to be there. I said, well, I manage a warehouse at Standard Electric Supply Company. And he's like, oh, that's nice. And he turned around and started walking away. And I'm like, what did I do? Did I say something wrong? Did I say something wrong? I'm at Because of the Times. I don't know if you know that, but it's a big deal. And I just proceeded to tell him that I was a warehouse manager at a secular facility. He's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I do this, but I'm also a licensed minister. And then it hit me all of a sudden. It hit me. Am I thoroughly convinced of what I'm doing? Who do you tell people you are? When they say, hey, Justin, what do you do? What do you do, Justin? An equipment operator. Damon, what do you do? Brother Buck, what do you do? And that's the idea. The thing is, who you are is a child of God. Who you are is not what you do. It's what you believe you are. You, my friend, are a Jesus name, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, child of God. That's who we are. And what we are convinced that we are, that's what we're going to promote. That's what we're going to talk about. Have you ever met somebody that tells you about something that you're willing to do exactly what they just told you? Like, shut up and take my money? Go ahead. I'll give it to you. I know somebody that told me about disc golf. And my wife is regretting this because I've spent upwards of $300, just don't tell my wife, on this little project. And I've hurt myself doing this. But the thing is that they're convinced of that activity. My question is, are we convinced that Jesus is the greatest thing we've ever seen? That we've ever felt? That we've ever heard? Are we convinced? Are we convinced? You know, when I first met Pastor Cox, and he's like, hey, I want you to come here. And spent several minutes and hours talking to him, I was like ready to take on hell with a water pistol. I was ready. I gave up a crazy job. I gave up, you know, a bunch of stuff so I could be here to be alongside of him, learning how to minister and how to live for God and how to win souls. As you saw for the last several minutes, his vision was to win souls. To win souls. He's thoroughly convinced to win souls. That's our mandate, to win souls. And I give honor to my pastor. I went to Because of the Times, and I had this conversation with my wife. And we were there the first night, and my wife's like, so when is it going to happen? When am I going to hear great preaching? When am I going to be wowed by the speaking of the minister? And I said, honey, it's because we're spoiled. We get good preaching every Sunday. We get good teaching every Wednesday. We have an awesome pastor. We have you might not know this, but we have a conference speaking caliber pastor. And when we're up there in the meetings, he's like, guys, yes, let's give him a hand. He's well deserved of any honor that we give him. He is a great pastor. And he tells the ministry, he's like, every time you speak, it's like general conference. You give your very best every time. Every time. You don't hold back. You give your very best every time. Every time. And while we were down there, we hunted down T.F. Tinney so we could say hello for Grandma Bryant. T.F. Tinney was a couple grades behind Grandma Bryant while she was at ABI. And I give honor to her because she has established a great heritage, a great legacy. And that's all that we leave is a great legacy put into our kids. And she's done that. We got together for Christmas and she sat the little kids down and said, hey, you don't walk away from this. You don't give up on Jesus' name baptism. You don't walk away from this. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name. You have to speak in tongues. And these kids are looking at her like, yes, Grandma. Yes, Grandma. Whatever you say, Grandma. Amen. And we need to do that. We need to talk to our kids about the Word of God. Sure. We need to share the Word of God. Yes, we do. And that's something that we have to put in our kids. We can't send them to school and expect the schools to teach our kids about God. Or expect Sunday school classes to teach our kids about Jesus. It needs to be taught in our homes. It's reinforced in Sunday school, but it needs to be put into them in our homes. That's where it needs to be. And the thing is that it has to become a part of us. It has to be what we are all about. It has to be part of our makeup, part of, you know, when somebody asks you who you are, you can tell them because you're thoroughly convinced that Jesus is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. I might be a machine operator, but I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and He's changed my life. He's transformed. What you do is not who you are. It's not who you are. And believe me, I felt very silly as I told the regional director of the Philippines, oh, I'm a warehouse operator. And all I can imagine is, then what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then I wised up and somebody else asked me, well, I do this and I do this and I do this. And I'm involved in this and I partake in this and I do VBS. And he's like, you're busy. A little bit. Not once did I mention Standard Electric Supply Company. Because it clicked. It clicked. Who I am is not what I do. Who I am is not what I do. And I appreciate the fact that I work at Standard Electric Supply Company and they allow me to work there and do what I do. And some people get mad at me because I get to grill out in January. And I can't help myself but share the blessings or the pictures of the blessings of what God is doing in my life. But we have to be kingdom-minded. We have to be kingdom-minded wherever we go. Wherever God takes us, we need to understand that Jesus is the best thing we could have. The Word of God says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You're going to talk about what's in your heart. If Jesus is not in your heart, guess what? You're going to talk about something else. It has to bubble up. It has to be inside of you in order for it to come out. Amen. And I'm not preaching at you as much as I'm preaching at myself. Because I'm guilty of this. I'm condemned myself and I'm guilty of this, of not knowing who exactly I am. You know, I got a plaque last year and it's sitting in my living room. It says that I've been licensed with the United Pentecostal Church for 15 years. And it was a lifelong goal to be licensed. And I have the privilege to carry a license. But the license does not determine my burden for Jesus or my desire to live for God. I've given my license away and the calling does not leave. The calling is still there. And through life's experiences, the calling is the only thing I've had that's kept me. That card hasn't kept me. That, you know, that piece of plastic does not keep me saved. It doesn't prevent me from doing wrong. It's the Spirit of God in me. It says, no, you shouldn't see that. No, you shouldn't go there. No, you shouldn't partake of that. That's what drives me. Not the card. Not somebody else looking at me. But it has to be inside of you. Jesus has to be inside of you in order for you to share Jesus. Because if you spend time with the Master, eventually somebody will take notice and they will say, hey, you got something there. Hey, if he changed your life, he can change mine. If he transformed your life, he can transform mine. He can do it for me if he did it for you. And see, I have the privilege of being part of a great family. And I completely and utterly was blessed by it, or blessed of God. Because I have a beautiful wife that I love dearly and beautiful kids. And they are a blessing from the Lord. They are given to me from the Lord because I did not deserve them. I did not deserve them. But see, that's what God gives you when you are faithful. He takes care of you. He takes care of you and he blesses you because you are faithful. And see, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I struggle with this inferiority thing where I don't feel good enough. I don't feel that I can do that, or I can accomplish those things, or you know, I deal with those things, and you know, we feel that, or I feel that I'm not good enough and I can't achieve great things, or think small-minded, or, you know, we look at the sign out front and says, how? Or how are we going to accomplish that? Or how are we going to do that? How are we going to fill every seat? How are we going to do that? And the thing is, it's just determining within ourselves, yes, that God has given us the power to do so. God has put it in us to reach people for the kingdom of God. In Proverbs 23 and 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The perception is all in your head. Whether or not you can accomplish it is completely dependent on you. The children of Israel were told that they were being given the promised land. God sent him into the Canaan land to take it. Said, I'm going to give you houses you did not build, vineyards you did not plant. Give you a place where you can live and live bountifully. And God had given them that land. Understand this, they just went through the Red Sea, saw the sea part, and saw mighty miracles. They got hungry, they were fed. They got thirsty, they were given water. They were hungry again, and they were given manna, and they were given quail, and they were taken care of. How many times has God blessed us and then asked us, hey, go do this? And we're like, I can't do that. We've already gone through miracles. We've already seen amazing things. And we somehow forget how powerful our God is. How awesome our God is. Enough so that when the children of Israel came to see the Canaan land, and they went to spy to see how they could take the land, not whether or not they were able to, but to figure out how to. And they said these words that boggle my mind in the sense that they had seen great things. They had seen great things. They had been experiencing God in a whole new way. They saw the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and it moved and it took them through the wilderness. And they see all these great miracles, and then they still doubted because they saw themselves as slaves still. They saw themselves as slaves to the point that even Egypt looked amazing. And they said, when they went out and saw that land that God had promised them was flowing with milk and honey and the bounties thereof, and they said, we are as grasshoppers. They decided themselves, we are like grasshoppers. It didn't say they were told they were grasshoppers. They didn't confront anybody and says, you are like grasshoppers. No. Nobody told them. They said, we are like grasshoppers. They self-proclaimed themselves to be small. They self-proclaimed that they were not good enough, that they were not big enough, that they weren't strong enough. And sometimes we condemn ourselves. Oh, I can't win souls. Oh, I can't. I'm not a Bible school teacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not all these things that we have in our head that a minister or somebody that wins souls. We have this idea, this preconceived idea that, hey, I have to speak from the pulpit in order to win souls. But all it takes is having Jesus on the inside. And eventually, it will bubble up and get on somebody else. It will touch somebody else. It will affect somebody else. And the thing is that we have to convince ourselves, we have to determine within ourselves that we are not small, that we are not hopeless, that we are not weak, that we are not unspiritual or worthless or have a poor mentality, or that we are simple or don't understand or can't memorize the Word of God. We can't quote scripture, but we need to convince ourselves that Jesus loved us. Enough to die on a cross. Because he turned the world upside down for you and for me. He did. He did. And it's until we grab a hold that Jesus is willing to take this world apart in order to reach me, to change me, to be like Jesus, to share him, to share Jesus with people. You don't need to know the whole Bible. You just need to know the portion that says, you are more than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you take those mountaintop experiences with God. You take those moments where God shows you the miracles, shows you the awesome things, and it carries you through the valleys. It carries you through your problems, your situations. Because the same God that took you to the mountain will take you through the valley and will take care of you in the valley. In the valley. So you grab that faith and you say, God, here we go. It might be dark. It might be dim. Brother Jack Cunningham said, if Satan could kill you, you'd already be dead. You'd already be dead. Sometimes we convince ourselves that Satan is so powerful. That Satan is so powerful. And the only power that he has is that which you have given to him. Yeah. You handed him dominion over yourself. You handed him dominion over your life, over your health, over your mind. That's the only power he has. One of the things my daughter told me is, I find it frustrating. She went to the circus and this is what she got out of it. I'm so mad that they were hitting the elephants in the legs to get him to do stuff. And the thing is the elephant can very easily crush the person that's hitting him. But they've conditioned them, since they were little bitty elephants, to control them, to dominate them. And we've allowed Satan to dominate us and let us believe that we don't have power. The thing is this, how many of us are filled with the Holy Ghost and have been baptized in Jesus' name? Amen. You have dominion over Satan. You have power over Satan. You have that power. The only bad part is you don't use it. You don't use it. So it's funny when a little mouse is pushing an elephant around, and we allow Satan to push us around. Wow. When we have power over Satan. That's right. Yes. We really do. Wow. And the thing is that we need to stop thinking so small. We look at the yard across the way and we say, how is it going to happen? God's going to make a way. We do everything we can do, and God will pick up the slack. God will find the people that have the money, or bless us to have the money to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm compelled to share. One of the prophecies that came forward is that in 2018, we will not lack the funds to do whatever we need to do to reach souls.
Praise God.
That was one of the prophecies that came forward because of the times. That God will provide. The thing is will we allow God to provide?
Amen.
Will we allow God to move? If we challenge ourselves and do everything we can do. See, we think that there's this great equation to revival. Revival looks a lot like hard work.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like hard work. It's about doing everything we can do. It's us doing everything we can do. reach souls, teach Bible studies, share Jesus in the lunch line at Owens, at Walmart, wherever we go, at the workplace. It's sharing Jesus. It's sharing Jesus. And it's convincing ourselves that we are able to do so. That there is no qualifications other than we are Jesus' name people. We are Jesus' name people. We are called by His name. And my daughter was worried that she wasn't going to go downstairs. But today, I would like to ask you, who do you tell people you are? What is highlighted in your life? Is it the things you do, the things you get paid for to pay your bills? Or is it the amazing things that God is doing in your life? Yes. What God has saved you from, what God has done for you, the miracles you've seen, the miracles that you've experienced. What are you going to tell people who you are? Is it your occupation? Or is it that you're part of one of the greatest church in Warsaw? That you are part of a family, a body of believers that believes in miracles, that believes in the power of God. That Jesus still saves souls. That Jesus loves you. That Jesus cares about you. The question is, are you thoroughly convinced that Jesus is who He says He is? And is He the Lord of your life? Are you convinced about it? If you are, you're going to share it. If you are, you're going to reach people. You're going to change your workplace. You're going to change your community. Yes. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we're not even going to talk about if you're not. Yeah. Because that doesn't matter. It's not important. That's how we're going to fill this church. That's how we're going to fill the Sunday school rooms.
Glory. Right.
That's how we're going to have revival. Right. Is by having an intimate relationship with Jesus. And sharing Jesus so we can tell people who we are. That we are Community Life Center. That you are Community Life Center. And through that, we will affect our world. Affect our community. So I ask you again, who will you tell people you are?
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, and that nothing that I have done or could do. Amen. Identity, and it is true sometimes when people would ask us. Brother Iggy was teaching us very good lesson, because it's important to our identity. Jesus never did have an identity crisis. He kept asking men, his disciples, who do men say I am? God wants to know what people are thinking about Him. It's not about He's worried about His identity. He wants them to know about Him. Amen? There's people in the Bible that we know about them because of their faith, their work, their endeavors. When you read that scripture, this is why I was saying Sunday, is that I love the Bible. God give us His word, moved upon holy men of old. As they wrote about it, we have all of the history of the New Testament church come into existence and all the things the disciples did. But God, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then He's the God as same today that when they prayed and they was in the jail for a witness that they was witnessing, amen, and God shook the jailhouse. I want the jailhouse here shaken. Not too many people want to be put in jail just to see the jailhouse shaken. All right? But what I'm saying is, We got to stop living in as if God always exists back there, but we're struggling because we can't find him today. Our identity is a child of God. When you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you have an identity with Christ. You are Christ's child. You are his son and his daughter. You have been given his power. What our mandate is, Acts 1 and 8. That's the mandate. What's the church supposed to do? Well, it's not another banquet. It's to be a witness. We enjoy the banquets, but we also want to take that banquet and make it into a tool of a witnessing. This is why it's Christmas time. We do the banquet, invite people. Why? Because there's an opportunity that people can come and see the crowd, see the people, see the born-again believers, mix with them, talk with them. Amen? And so that's our identity. We are believers. We've been blood bought, blood washed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And so that's our identity. And I appreciate that message tonight because that's who we are. Amen. And we can say that we are a equipment operator, but we also can throw in, I'm a Holy Ghost filled equipment operator. That'll boggle their mind. It really will. Yeah. Well, what's that? Well, that's the person that's been blood bought and blood washed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me just show you something here. And this is not to step all over Brother Ignacio's message, which you're going to remember tonight and take with you for that. But God showed me something here in Jude there as he began to minister. And in this fifth verse, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. God can redeem you and God can destroy you. All based upon that we won't believe his word, won't believe who he is, won't believe his identity. And I don't want that to be a negative tonight, but there's a sober part of this. I have an identity. Amen? I think God showed that to me for a purpose, is that all the things that God's done for us, we cannot be pretenders of something that we are not. We are blood-bought, blood-washed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Holy Ghost-filled, spoken tongues when the Holy Ghost came. Amen? Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul kept telling me that I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
That's why if we can take... We're not going to put Bibles on every place we go, but we can put a Bible study out there to somewhere. Why? I don't know. I just, something inside of my spirit just, I don't, anybody like fighting?
Amen.
Boxing I'm talking about. There's an old saying is, boxing. You got to let your gloves go. You can walk around a ring and have your boxing gloves on, and you're dressed like, look like you're a boxer. But somewhere, to prove that you're a boxer, you have to let the gloves go. Amen? Yeah. Somewhere, you got to sock that devil. You got to be active in your faith. Amen? We may say we're born again Christians, but if we're born again, that we're share this gospel. And so we got to let the word loose. We got to let the word go, the power of God. Amen. Our identity is sowers of the seed. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ignacio. Good word tonight. Good word tonight. Amen. Love the word. Let's stand together, shall we? It's a strength in the middle of the week, the word of God. I appreciate our ministry staff. On Sunday morning, sometimes they are late getting out here, and maybe a few minutes, because they're going to listen to me just ranting. In the Holy Ghost, of course. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good to us. Not ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ, the power of God. Amen. 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 Amen.